One, Ayin Beis Amid Beis, 11 lines from the bottom of the page. And these Gemara's is 72b3, second column. Yeah. Okay? Again, it's continuing all about this Yichus stuff. Who's kosher, is not kosher, you know, and so on. Who can marry whom, who can't marry whom, and so on. Tanur Rabban, the Rabban learned. Mamzerim v'nesine, that's the nation of Nesinim that came. Tehedim lasid lavim, when Mashiach comes, they'll all become pure. Mashiach comes, there's not going to be any more Mamzerim. Divrei Rabbi Yosi, so Rabbi Yosi holds. Rameir Eimer ein Tehedim, they're not going to become pure. A Mamzer stays a Mamzer, and the sin stays in the sin. Eliyahu Navi is not going to come purify them. Amalei Rabbi Yosi, so Rabbi Yosi said to Rameir, how could you say they're not going to be pure? The pasuk says, "Zarak de'alechemayim tohedim." I'm going to cast upon them pure water. Utahartem, you become pure. Right. So the Gemara thinks. So what does it mean that this speaks when Mashiach comes? Mashiach comes, Hashem will sprinkle the holy water, right, and everybody's going to become pure. So Gemara thought, "Mistam means that a mamzer will become tohed." So how can you say not?
Well, isn't it the mikveh
we are
talking about?
One minute. Amalei may answer them. It says in the pasuk, "Mikol tum eisechem, umikol gelulechem." It says in the pasuk right before that, "Utahartem mikol tum eisechem, from all your tuma and all your defilements, idol worshipping." But the pasuk doesn't say mamzedim. Hashem says, "I'm going to sprinkle the water on you, and you're all going to become pure from all your tuma." But it doesn't say, Mamzeinim are going to become pure. Rabbi Yosi says, when it says, Atayet Eschem, but again the Pasuk says another extra word, Atayet Eschem, it means even Mamzeinis. See, because the Pasuk says twice, Utahartem, right? Utahartem, which means from the impurity, but then at the end of the Pasuk it says, Atayet Eschem, I'm going to purify you. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yosi says, that means even the Mamzeinim are going to become pure.
How do we know that? I mean, how does the Gemara connect it to this? Maybe something else. What other
Tumantara is it? If Tumantara is taken care of, so what else is there? So it means about marriages. The impure will become pure. By the way, okay, we're going to soon see the Gemara. There's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. When Rabbi Yosi says that the Mamzerim are going to become pure, la'asad lavi, does that mean even the definite mamzeidim or just the doubtful mamzeidim? So there's a big argument in the Shein in what the Gemara means, okay? Which is relevant even when they pass in the halach of this. The Rishonim argue when Rabbi Yosi holds that the mamzeidim, when Mashiach comes, are going to be purified, and therefore they're going to be able to marry into the regular nation. Does this mean even definite mamzeidim or just doubtful mamzeidim? We said there's two opinions.
What are the doubtful ones?
No, we don't know.
Not the ones that we stand, we don't.
But people that we know for sure, Mamzeidim, they hold he's not going to. 72b3. What?
On the bottom of the page.
What it has to do with the water, just putting water, they become.
Obviously, Hashem is not going like this. Hashem is not going like that. Hashem, it means a level of purification. Mm-hmm. Hashem is not going to bring a massive rain on the world. No, that's not what it means. So the Gemara says, Bishlim la Rameir, it makes sense, according to Rameir, that says Mamzeidim, we're going to stay Mamzeidim. Hainu Dusiv, that's what the Pasuk says about Lasid Lavi, the Yashiv Mamzer Ba'ashdod. The Mamzer is going to live in Ashdod. Okay? In other words, it basically means they're going to have their own community. Ashdod. That's where my cousin is. El Rabbi Yosi, but according to Rabbi Yosi, what is the Yashiv Mamzer Ba'ashdod? If Rabbi Yosi holds the Mamzeidim, I'm going to become pure. So how could the pasuk say when Mashiach comes, the Mamzer is going to live in Ashdod? So Gemara answers to Gemetagim Rav Yosef. It's understood the way Rav Yosef said it to me. He said, "Yasvun Beis Yisrael, the Yidden will dwell securely in the land. Davidama Beil Nochram, where they once were treated like strangers, meaning." The Gemara defines it. The pasuk doesn't mean a mamzer, because Rabbi Yosi says the Aramaic of this pasuk. He was the expert in Aramaic in the psukim. He said what the pasuk means: not the mamzer will live in Ashdod. He says the people that didn't live securely earlier are now going to live secure in Ashdod. But it doesn't mean a mamzer. It means a foreigner.
That's Hebrew, it's not Aramaic, no?
I understand, but he was the one that defined the psukim. He was the expert in the matter of translation. Okay. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Halacha K'Rabbi Yosi. The Halacha is a K'Rabbi Yosi. You have it?
What? Ayin Beis, Ayin Gimel.
Ayin Beis, Amid Beis, all the way at the bottom of the page.
Fourth line.
Three lines in the end of the, well, four lines in the end of the page. Okay?
Yep.
Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Halacha K'Rabbi Yosi. The Halacha is a K'Rabbi Yosi. The Mashiach comes, all the Mamzerim, or we don't know, definite or not, but the Mamzerim are going to become pure. Have a asa yasve. How's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? She says, "Have a asa Elio. Elio Navi is going to come." No, I'm sorry.
No, you missed.
I listened. I wanted to make sense. Amar Rav Yehuda Rabbeisa said, "Ilav the Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmul Halacha Krabesi." He said, "It's thank God." He said that Rav Yehuda Merav said the Halacha like Shmul in the name of Shmul the Halacha like Krabesi, because the Halacha is a Krab Meir that the Mamzerim are not going to become pure. He said, "Avos Eliyahu, Eliyahu Navi will have to come. Mapik minay tzavarin, tzavarin kolorin. He removes hordes of people and neck shackles to get rid of them." In other words, there's so many mamzerim. Can you imagine if the mamzerim are going to stay mamzerim? Eliyahu Navi is going to come and take away millions of mamzerim from Klal Yisrael. So he said, "Thank God, so to speak, the halachas of Kabbalah that they're all going to become pure." Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabban learnt.
Where are all these mamzerim now? We're back to the same thing. It's in Babel. I mean, there's so many. I mean,
there's a lot of mamzerim in today's world running around. I'm going to tell you. Tan Rabban learnt. Ger neisim mamzer zdivir Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, sorry, Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi holds a ger can marry a mamzeris. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Ger lo yisa mamzeres. A Ger cannot marry mamzeres. Okay? The question over here is, the Torah says about a mamzer, which by the way means a female mamzer too. Lo yave mamzer bekahal Hashem. And this is very important. He cannot come into the kahal, in the community of Hashem. So Rabbi Yehuda says, a Ger is not kahal Hashem. So therefore, a mamzer cannot marry somebody in Kahal Hashem. But if it's a ger, it's not Kahal Hashem, and therefore a mamzeris could marry him. One second, we're not done. Rav Yehuda Eimer, ger lo yisa mamzeris. Because Rav Yehuda says a ger is Kahal Hashem. So he says, echad ger, echad ger, whether it's a convert. Echad, eved meshuchru, where eved that became freed. V'cholol, or cholol means the descendant of a Kohen who married somebody he's not allowed to marry, Mutarim HaKohenes can marry a female Kohen. And here's an interesting thing. A Kohen, we learned, is limited who he can marry, right? He cannot marry Gerusha, he cannot marry a Chalala, right? A Kohen cannot marry a daughter from a Kohen with a Gerusha, because the kid's not a kosher for a Kohen. A woman is a Zayna, he cannot marry, meaning she had relations with somebody she would not be allowed to marry, like a shiksa. But the Gemara is saying now that if it's the female Kohen, a daughter of a Kohen could marry a ger. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a geyeris, but a ger can marry a bas Kohen. A Kohen cannot marry a chalolo, but a cholo can marry a bas Kohen. That's what the Gemara says. My time with Rabbi Yosi. So Gemara says, what's the reason of Rabbi Yosi that he says a ger can marry a mamzeres? A ger is a full-fledged Jew. Why, you know, can you not marry a mamzeres? So he says like this. Chamisha kohol eksiva. The word kohol is written five times in Chumash. Okay? It says, I mean, at the bottom we quote all the bit. L'yavim mamzer b'kal Hashem. Gamdar asi lo yovele bekal Hashem, lo yovi ameni mavi bekal Hashem, gamdar asi lo yovele ham bekal Hashem, and dar shlishi yovele ham bekal Hashem. So he says the word kahal Hashem, the congregation of Hashem, is mentioned 5 times in Chumash. What does it teach us? Chad l'koyanim, want to teach us that a mamzer cannot marry a koyan. Okay? V'chad l'leviim, the one that a levi cannot marry a mamzer. V'chad l'yisraelim, and one is for Yisraelim. Okay, so 3 of the 5 teaches us a koyan cannot marry a mamzer, a levi cannot, just put that. A levi cannot marry a mamzer, and Yisrael cannot marry a mamzer. V'chad one, l'mishrei mamzer b'shtuki. One is to allow a mamzer to marry a shtuki. Okay? And let's find. We learned before in the Gemara, there's an asufi and a shtuki. Mm-hmm. Okay? These are funny names. Shtuki means shtika, quiet. Mm-hmm. Okay? Shtuki is a kid, we don't know who the father is. We know who the mother is, the mother of the Jewish lady, but we don't know who the father is. Why is it called shtuki? Because when you ask him, who's your father? He's quiet. Because he doesn't know. And a sufi, that we'll soon see in the Gemara, a sufi is, simply means gathered. That means you found a kid outside the doorstep, you don't know who the father is, you don't know who the mother is. That's called an asufi. So that's obviously worse than a shtuki. Shtuki, you know who the mother is, you know that the kid's Jewish. I mean, you don't know who the father is. Is it a kosher man? Is he a mamzer? Not a mamzer? You know, whatever. But a sufi is worse because you don't know who either parent is. So the Gemara says, one pasuk of kahal. There's 5 kahals, right? Lo yavo b'kalasha. One to teach us, a kohen cannot marry a mamzer, a levi cannot marry a mamzer, a Yisrael cannot marry a mamzer. One is to permit a mamzer to marry a shtuki.
Permit or... Not to permit.
Huh?
I thought we are using this to mamad.
Yeah, but 1 second. You're right, but here he's doing it in a legitimate way. Because he says like this. The mamzer cannot marry Kahal Hashem. But because we don't know who his father is, it's not called Kahal Hashem. Kahal Hashem means when you definitely know it's Kahal Hashem. But the father might be apostle. Right? The father might be a mamzer. A mamzer can marry a mamzeres. Mamzer can marry a mamzer. So because it's not for sure Kahal Hashem, because we don't know who the father is, so the pasuk says, only Kahal Hashem they cannot marry, a shtuki cannot marry. I mean, a mamzer cannot marry. Right? But if it's a shtuki, because it's not Kahal Hashem, it is allowed. And the 5th, the Kahal Gerim Le'ikir Kol, that the nation of converts is not considered Kol. So Rabbi Yossi said a statement before, a ger can marry a mamzeres. That's what Rabbi Yossi just said, right? So the Gemara says, why? So the Gemara explains. Because there's 5 times the word Kol, right? 4 of them, three of them are to say that who you cannot marry a mamzer. Okay? Kohen Levi Yisrael, meaning kosher, full-fledged Jews, cannot marry a mamzer. But shtuki and ger, because they're not full-fledged Jews from birth, so they could marry a mamzer. That's what Rabbi Yossi says, the 5th kohol, teaches us that a ged can marry a mamzeres because a ged is not Kahal Hashem.
This is a halacha?
No, 1 second. Rabbi Yehuda. So I, Rabbi Yehuda, says, he just said a ged cannot marry a mamzeres, but there's an extra call, right? So he says like this. Rabbi Yehuda, kohenim leviim, michad kol nafka. He says, kohenim and leviim, we learn out from the 1st kohol. So there's an extra one, kohol. Yatele kal gedim, it teaches us that the gedim cannot marry a mamzer. Because it's an extra kohol, so it's including. In other words, according to Rabbi Yossi, the first opinion, because there's 5 kohols, okay, basically, it excludes each one of them. But here, because Kohen and Leviim are learned from one call, because what's the difference between Kohen and Levi, right? So one call is for Kohen and Leviim. The second call is for Yisraelim. The third call is for Shtuki. Yeah? The fourth call is Gedim.
A Sufi.
No, it doesn't go as Sufi. He says like this. The Atid, so therefore, the extra word of Kohol, okay, teaches us that they cannot marry a Ged. Because it's an extra call. The extra call teaches us, who else can't they marry that's called a Gol? Even a Ged. So the Buda holds, because two of the Kohanim Levim we learn from one word call, so the extra call teaches us that they cannot marry Gedim either. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that call is not extra, so therefore it teaches us that a ger could marry a mamzeres. The boy Sema, another answer, says like this, Hani nami terei kol aninu. In fact, Kohanim and Levim are also considered separate. Where do you get the extra call from? He says, mamze b'shtuki. B'shtuki b'yisro michad kol nafka. That a mamze can marry a shtuki, and a shtuki can marry Yisrael, that's one from Kohol. So therefore, okay, and then he says, Layavim, why? Why can a mamze marry a shtuki? And why can a shtuki marry Yisrael? Because it says, Layavim mamze b'kal Hashem. A mamze cannot come in kal Hashem. Mamze vadei huda layavim. Only a definite mamze. But a shtuki, right, is not definite. He cannot come into a definite Jew, but a kal safik, because he's a shtuki, right? Then it's a doubtful Jew, so he could marry him. So therefore it's called a kol, I'm sorry, therefore he's called a kol, and therefore the ged cannot marry a mamzeres. So by the way, but just for the record, if a ged marries a mamzeres, even according to the first Ibn Abyesi, that a ged can marry a mamzeres, the kid's still a mamzer.
The halacha is that the ger can't marry a mamzer.
We're not done yet.
So really, mamzer can only marry a mamzer. I mean, that's
also not.
Huh?
Also not.
So he can never get married?
No, because he could, technically, but his kids are going to be mamzerim. So all you're doing is multiplying mamzerim.
Oh, I see. We are
so therefore, what happens technically if the lady can't have kids? Say physically, she can't have kids. Either she's old, or she just can't have kids. So then technically a mamzer can marry a mamzeres.
Otherwise?
What do you mean otherwise?
So who can he marry?
Nobody.
So that's what the problem is with a mamzer. He cannot marry with anybody.
A mamzer is a full-fledged Jew. The only problem with a mamzer is he cannot marry a Jew. But the halacha is a ger could marry a mamzeres. But again, the problem with that is, then if they have kids, the kids are going to be mamzeres. So all you're doing is multiply mamzeres. Therefore, technically, again, if the lady can't have kids, she can marry a ger.
Because there's no children, so they can marry.
Right.
So a mamzer can marry anybody as long as they don't have
children. No.
As long as they don't have children.
No, mamzer can marry a Jew, it says. Layavim mamzer b'kal Hashem. These people are not kahal Hashem. So therefore, he could marry them.
He could marry.
A mamzer can marry a regular Jew.
Can.
Cannot.
But if... I thought the problem is the offspring.
No. No.
It's because of
there's
kahal Hashem.
There's two issues.
Oh,
Layavim mamzer b'kal Hashem. The Torah says a mamzer cannot marry a Jewish person. Okay? Mm-hmm. Finished. A full-fledged Jew, for sure, they cannot marry. Whether they're going to have kids, not have kids, a mamzer cannot become Le'avah B'kal Hashem. The B'yaisi holds, a ger could marry a mamzeres. Everybody says a mamzer can marry a mamzeres. That everybody says. Because they're equal. Now, they could marry. According to Torah, Torah says they couldn't get married. It's not done, because again, their kids are all going to be mamzeres. So all you're doing is multiplying bigger problems. Because who are they going to marry? Right? But if the person can't have kids, then a mamzer can marry a mamzeres. Or contra b'yaisi, and that's the halacha, that again can marry a mamzeres.
Excuse me, I'm a little confused. You said a Ger, so Mary, a
Mamzeres? According to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says no.
But who said, Rabbi Yehuda?
Says no.
Rabbi
Yossi says yes.
So who
would the offspring would be...
No. What? The question is a Ger called Kahal Hashem? Rabbi Yossi says he's not. And Rabbi Yehuda says he is. That's the source of the argument.
But what is the status of the offspring of a ger and a mamzeres?
A mamzer.
Okay.
So who do we go by?
It's the same. You run into the same problem that you have with two mamzeres.
Right. Same problem.
But technically, when somebody converts, doesn't he enter Kahal Hashem?
Yeah, but it's not the yichus of Kahal Hashem of the lineage. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says the extra pasuk teaches us the kahal gedim is not called a kol.
So who do we go by?
The loch of the Rabbi that they could.
Then how do we have so many mamzerim running around with all these limitations?
In the times of the Gemara, like they said in Bavel, before the Gemara, everybody was fooling around with everybody else.
Is it Lamaisa was like that?
Yeah, Lamaisa, that's what they were doing.
Where is it recorded or something? I never heard
The Gemara talks about it. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Yeah, that's what...
Okay, so, obviously the Gemara is not making up... bedtime stories for
no,
the kids.
I mean, we learn all these Gemaras. It never doesn't seem like it. I mean, just
okay.
Stories about it.
He buys him another answer like this: Hani nami tere kolanin. Even a shtuki and a mamzer in a shtuki is also two separate things. So why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that ger cannot marry mamzeris? Because it says hakol chuka achas lachem, the kohol. There should be a single law for you. Okay? So he says, the fact that the pasuk says, ha-kohol, v'ger, means again, it's part of the kohol. That's what he holds. Okay? Now, well, Rabbi Yossi says, they're not a kohol, and the pasuk says, v'ger ha-gor, that there is the same din. Chukaachas hifsekoenyan. Rabbi Yossi says very interesting. Faket, he says, the pasuk says hakol, and then it says chukaachas v'lager. The fact that between the word kohol and ger, there's a word, that means he's not a kohol, because then the Torah should have said hakol v'hager, chukaachas yalachem. And Rabbi Yossi said that itself is really a proof that he's not kohol. Because the Torah says kol, break, and ger. That means the ger is not part of the kol.
Why is that so? When we read so many times that the ger is so much more to be respected, and this and that, and the part of
kol has to do basically with marriage. A mamzer, like we said, is a full-fledged Jew. A mamzer, Tamil Chacham, is a lasher, comes before Kain Gadol, is an amoritz. Okay, a mamzer is a full-fledged Jew, obligated to every single mitzvah like a Jew. The only problem is
he can't marry.
That's the definition of kol. When it says lo yavi ameini o mayavi bekal Hashem, it means that if a person from Amen and Mayav converts, they're a Jew, but they can't marry bekal Hashem.
They can't, but if they do, it's kosher
no.
marriage. No. So somebody officiates on that with
a
mam.
It's like he officiates a Jew and a guy.
So nothing happens.
You mean is it a valid kedushin?
Right.
According to the Chachamim, yes, because it's only a lav, it's not capital punishment. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's not a good kedushin.
Goyim have kedushin.
Huh?
Goyim they have kedushin
between themselves, not between a Jew and a guy.
Oh, between a Jew and a guy, there is no kedushin.
No. If a Jewish woman was married to a guy, okay, and then she becomes a Baal Tshuva, does she need a get from the guy to marry a Jew?
No.
But two goyim that are married,
and somebody commits adultery with one of the women, that's it, because by goyim between themselves, there's kedushin. But not as far as the goyim and Jew goes. Okay, then the Gemara says like this: Echad ger ve'echad eved meshuchrer, whether a ger or an eved meshuchrer, v'cholo, he said muteres bekehenes. They can marry the daughter of a Kohen, a Bas Kohen, they could marry. Because the whole Isser is on a male Kohen marrying all these types of female people. Female Giyadis, female, you know, Shivcha and all that. So the Gemara says, Mesayle l'Rav, this is a proof, this price supports Rav. Because Dama Rav Yudam Rav, Rav Yudah said the name of Rav, Lehuzeruk Shedel Sinosi Psulim. Fit women of Kehanic, of descent, were not prohibited to marry men which are unfit for Kayanim. Okay? That means daughters of a Kayan can marry a man that, if it be in the reverse, the man would be a Kayan and the lady would be her, they wouldn't be allowed to marry. And that's the halacha today, by the way, that a Bas Kayan can marry a divorced man, she can marry Ger, she can, you know.
She won't be able to eat truma.
No, well, even if she marries a Yisrael, she won't be able to marry eat truma. Once she's married, she loses her status.
Well, don't the Shatganim find Cohen's, Bas Cohen's to marry Cohen's?
Huh?
Don't the Shatganim find...
It says that if you marry a Bas Kohen, it's not a good... it's not a good shidduch for an Amoritz to marry a Bas Kohen. So therefore there's a minig. The Rebbe used to answer that the chosen of a Bas Kohen, that he should learn a Masechta. If he learns a tractate, then he's not an Amoritz anymore, so then he can marry a Bas Kohen.
But
if it's a Kohen marrying a Bas Kohen, then it's okay.
But don't they try to match up Kohenim and a Bas Kohen?
Why? They get paid more, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, we have that tradition too. We try to match Kohenim together as much as possible. In the past, that's all.
I mean, again, it's a nice thing to do, but it's not.
My uncles, both of them married Kohenis.
Okay.
Okay. From my mother's side.
Oh, you gotta listen to the story. Daughter of Rav Zeira ben Mechuza. Rav Zeira came once as a guest lecturer to Mechuza, to the city Mechuza. And he made a speech that Ger mutter ben Mamzeris. A Ger can marry a Mamzeris. Ragmu kula amr besregayu. They all stoned him with their esregim. Why? Mechuza had many converts. And when you say a convert can marry a mamzeres, it's degrading to the converts. So all the converts in Mechuza took their esregim and they stoned them. Okay. Amar Rava, so Rava said, Me'ika de dorish milsa ki hai beduch de shchichi giyure. Would anyone teach publicly this in a place where converts are so common? He said to him, Rav Zeira, you are very politically incorrect. He said, how do you preach in a city full of converts that a ger can marry a mamzer? He said, so what happened? Daughter Shrava ben Mechuza. Rava got up to speak in Mechuza. And he said, ger mutter be kehenes. He got it, went the reverse. A convert, a ger, can marry a female kohen. Oh, yichus.
To come to bring the temper.
Listen to this. Tarnu bishiroi. The people of Mechuza liked so much what he said, they loaded him up with fine silks. After he got on the good side, he taught them, Ger mutter be mamzeres. Then he said the real din, that a ger can marry a mamzeres. So they said to him, Afsida kamaisa, you ruined your first thing. The first thing, you were good. You said a ger can marry a kehanes. Now you're telling us a ger mutter mamzeri. You're ruining what you said before. Amalohu, he said like this. The tava luchu avde luchu. I said I've done better for you. Iboy mehachas nasif, iboy mehachas nasif. What I'm telling you, you can marry the extremes. If you want, you can marry a mamzeris. No problem. You can marry a bagayin. What I'm really doing for you, Rav, I said I'm opening up the marriage channels. You can marry whoever you want. From this side, no problem. Rav Zeira got up and said, a ger can marry a mamzeres. So they got angry at him. That means we're no good. We can only good for mamzerim. So Rav fixed it up. He said, no. You can marry the best and you can marry the worst. It's up to you to marry who you want.
Is that what it means?
That's what it means.
Yeah. But the kids still mamzer.
Huh? Yeah.
But a ger cannot marry a kohen.
A ger can marry a bas kohen.
Yeah, but a ger...
Yeridus cannot marry a coin, but that's what he said before. No?
So, I mean, it's not. It's
not and the Gemara was like, one day, the Hilchus, and now the Gemara Paskins. What's the Shaila? Ged mutter be kehenes, or mutter be mamzeres. Both. A ged can marry a baskayin, and a ged can marry a mamzeres. Okay? Mutter be kehenes, why is he allowed to marry a kehenes? Lehozek shersling nasi psulim. Women are not prohibited from marrying somebody that if it would be reversed, it wouldn't be allowed. And a lot of them married to mamzeres, like Rabbi Yasi, that says a ged is not kahal Hashem, and therefore a ger can marry a mamzeres. So the Gemara rules clearly. A ger can marry a mamzeres. A ger can marry a baskayin. But, like we said, the problem is with the offshoots of it. Okay, then the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Elehin Shtuki. What's a Shtuki? Okay, the Mi was one of the, in the beginning of the Perek, the Mishnah mentioned the 10, it was speaking about a Shtuki and a Sufi, you know. Okay, so the Gemara says, what's a Shtuki? Kol Mashamaket Asimai, he knows who his mother is, but he doesn't know who his father is. Okay, when you ask him who's your father, he's quiet because he doesn't know. So Gemara says like this: Dvar Teira, biblically, Shtuki Kosher. In other words, the Gemara, our Mishnah says a Shtuki cannot marry a Bas Yisrael, but Rav is saying that's only rabbinic. Biblically, a Shtuki can marry a Bas Yisrael. Why? So he says like this. Rav Kshedim Etzla, the majority of women, of men, are kosher for this woman. Umiyat Psulin Etzla, and very few are not kosher. Okay? Now, this woman is not married. I mean, she's a kosher woman, yeah? She has a kid. Correct? Mm-hmm. We don't know who the father is. Mm-hmm. The majority of men are not forbidden for her. Who's forbidden for her? A few relatives. A few relatives.
What about the
Kohen? No. She might be a kosher woman. She's a kosher woman.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't come from Mamzeru Mani. She's a normal woman. Right? We don't know who the father is. So Gemara says like this. Minat Taira, we at least you go by the majority. We're going to see this now in the Gemara. It's very interesting. You go by the majority. The majority of men that would create this baby are kosher people. There may be a brother, a father, I mean, there might be a few relatives that she can't marry.
Well, she couldn't tell you?
She doesn't know.
Because she doesn't know automatically the brother or, I mean, whatever.
No, she doesn't know.
Because even if the guy's a guy, even if he's a guy, the kid's still a kosher kid.
There's a mamzer probably.
No.
She doesn't know. How could she?
She doesn't want to know.
She was with so many men, she doesn't know who the father is. She didn't take a pregnancy test after each one.
I mean, so where is
what?
Is that mamzer?
Why is it a mamzer? She's not married. So the majority of men that could have possibly created this baby, even if they goyim, right, are the kid's still kosher. So he says it, my timer. Rav Ksheda Metzla or Miat Psula Metzla. Only a small minority, right? Okay. So it sounds like this. Vi Ozl in the Lug, this is going to take some explanation, but it's a very important, very well known din in Tatum. If they went, okay, to her, to be with her, called the punishment of a punch. We assume they come from the majority. My Amrit, what are you going to say? Maybe she went to them. Let me explain this then, okay? We know the Torah says, you go by the majority. Okay, I'm going to explain with the din of meat, and we'll understand it easier.
Yeah, called the parish.
Called the parish, middle of the parish. There's a store, and Tesis says it's, I mean, officially it's a Xeris HaKosuv, but the Rebbe brings on the Sikha based on the Tesis, there's an explanation of what it is. There's 9 kosher stores. Okay, there's a block of stores. Yeah? 9 sell kosher meat, and 1 sells trefah meat. And you find meat outside the store.
Outside the kosher store.
Huh?
Outside the kosher.
No, outside one of the, they're all together. Okay?
In the chatzah.
And you find a piece of meat. Is the meat kosher or not? So the din is, this meat came from one of the stores. Okay? So now, you're looking at this meat. Is this meat kosher or not? 90% kosher, 10% not kosher. Right? If 90% is kosher, and 10% is not kosher, what's the majority? Kosher. So therefore the halacha is you can eat the meat. What happens though, if the meat didn't leave the store, so to speak, you went into one of the 10 stores, again, 9 stores selling kosher, 1 store selling treif. You went into the store and bought a piece of meat. And now you don't remember which store you bought it in. So the din is, that's called kavua, an established place. And the din is, kol kavua, kemechtza amechtzadami. Once it's an established place, it's a 50-50 doubt. If the questionable object left from its place, you go by the majority. If the doubt begins in the origin of the doubt, then it's like 50-50. So then the meat is treif.
What does that mean?
It's exercise kosev. Taisis in Zvachim says, because if it's a store, then it has a certain prominence to it. The kviyas has a certain prominence to it, and because it's choshev, it's not bottle. Like this is bottle, but off. It's not bottle because it's choshev. Because it's important. The question is the doubt originating when the question was separated from the question, from the places? Or did the doubt begin in the place? When I bought meat in a store, and now I don't remember which store it is, the doubt began in the store. Not when I left the store.
Why? That doesn't make sense to me.
Why?
Because if the doubt began in the store, I mean, if I'm I obviously don't understand you, but if the doubt began in the store, you know what the identity of the store is, and you know whether it's kosher.
No, the guy didn't know if it was a kosher store or not a kosher store.
How could one not know that?
Okay, there's a big supermarket with 10 butcher counters. Okay.
Yeah, but
he remembers. I bought it in the store. I don't remember which part of the store I bought it in.
Why do we say 50-50?
Okay, so I understand that.
So that becomes a doubt in the kavua place. Now, let's take this example. Most men for this woman is kosher. Are kosher, right? Now, if the man came to her, instead of her going to the man, if the man came to her house, this man is now from the majority. The majority is kosher. Correct? So therefore, technically, this shtuki, if you go by the majority, is a kosher kid. But if the woman went to the man, the man then becomes kavua, because the doubt begins, who is the man? And the man stayed where he was, so then it would be a suffix 50-50.
That's hard to understand. There's any logic behind it. It's always had problems with that. And why is it 50-50?
There's a very interesting Mordechai in Chulin. It's unbelievable. He asks, according to this rule, why does Beis Din go by the majority opinion? Why aren't they kavua?
Mm-hmm.
Beis Din sitting in a place, right? They're ruling. It's in a set place. And the Torah says you follow the majority opinion. According to the rule, kavod should be kavod machsa machsa. You should never have a majority opinion. So you know what he says? He says, the halach is what comes out of the mouth. That's separated. And therefore you follow the majority. That's what he says. But anyway, this is what the Gemara is saying over here. So Rav is not done yet. Rav is saying, number one, okay, he says like this. Let's see now this inside again. Amar Rav. Dvar Teira Shtuki Kosher. Mina Teira Shtuki is kosher. Why? My timer. Sounds like this. Rav Ksheira Metzla Mi Yipsula Metzla. But this woman, most of the men in the world would produce a kosher kid, only a brother and an uncle or, you know, a relative that she can't marry would. Therefore, if the man would go to her, the man left, went to her, called the punishment over punish. Then he's separating himself from the majority. And then if most men are kosher, so this shtuki kid that you don't know the father is an assumption that the kid's kosher. My Amba, what are you going to say? Dilma Aza Iyil Gabayu. Maybe the woman went to the men. And then it becomes Kavua, it's in a fixed place. And called Kavua Masa Masa Dami. Right? And it's 50-50. Then maybe the kid's a mamza, maybe he's not. It still wouldn't apply. Because what does the Torah say? A definite mamza cannot come Bekal Hashem. But we said before in the Gemara, a doubtful mamza, biblically, could become in Kal Hashem. The Torah says, L'yavi mamzeh b'kal Hashem. From there, the Gemara learns out, mamzeh vaday, a definite mamzeh cannot come b'kal Hashem. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Rava says, any way you want to look at it, minatera, a shtuki, that means you don't know who the father is, you know the mother, would be a kosher kid. Because most men, if she lived with them, we don't know the father is. That means most men, that she, even a guy, the kid would still be Jewish. Mm-hmm. Okay? Only a few people would make her a mamzer. A father, a brother, you know, relatives. Like, that's very few people. So again, if the man went to her to be with, then he's coming from the Padish of the Raiv. So then anyway, it's kosher. Even if she went to him, so then the doubt begins where he is and it's kavua. Maybe the kid's a mamzer, maybe not. Who cares? It's not a vadi mamzer, it's 50-50. And the Torah only forbids a definite mamzer, not a doubtful mamzer. So based on that, there's no reason. Rav says min ha-Torah that a shtuki cannot marry her, any Jew he wants.
And that's no.
Umatam amru shtuki pasul. So why does the Chachamim say a shtuki is pasul? Right. So why does the Mishnah say midrabanon a shtuki cannot marry a Jewish girl? Because we're afraid shamayisa achesem yaviv. He might marry his father's sister. And this is, I wanted to know, this sounds really weird, but it's not as weird as it sounds. The Mishnah says, Midrabanan, we're afraid of one thing. Because we don't know who his father is, this kid might end up marrying his father's sister. That means really, as a person, there's nothing wrong with a shtuki marrying a Jewish girl. Because he's a kosher guy. Most people are kosher. Even if not, he's made a suffix mamzer at the best, at the worst, which is also mutter. So the Gemara, Rav says, why does Mishnah say a shtuki cannot marry Yisrael? Because we don't know who his father is, he might marry his father's sister, which is an aunt, which is forbidden.
Between all these people?
That's how far it goes. There's a...
We just talked about...
Paskim talk. I want to tell you something. Paskim talk. When people want to adopt children, there's a big discussion in Machlekes and Paskim if they should better adopt a Jewish kid or a Goyish kid and convert them. So there are poskim that write, and the Rebbe was one of those people that in a certain time held like that, that it's better to take a Goyish kid and be megayed, if obviously if the parents are from and you know everything, that they should adopt the kid who's a Goy and be megayed the kid. Why? Because if you adopt a Jewish kid and you don't know who the natural parents are, that kid might end up marrying his sister. Because there is some common...
And they don't tell you who the kid is.
But that's what I'm saying. So if they don't tell you the kid, just like this kid's adopted, he might have a sister somewhere that was adopted, and there's chemistry there, there's similarities between brothers and sisters, or whatever, and looks, or whatever. So many poskim said it would be better to adopt a Goyish kid, because even if he has a Goyish sister, and that sister was adopted, and Megayer, technically,
they're not related.
They're not related anymore. Right? Like Shulchan Aruch says, I mean, you're not allowed to do it because it doesn't look right. But technically, a brother and a sister, Goyim, that were Megayer, they can marry each other. The Gemara takes it even more. A mother and a son, if they're both Megayer, say, mother, Goy, your sheikhs had a kid. Right? And then they're both Megayer. Technically, the son can marry the mother. A little age difference there, but technically the son can marry the mother because they're not related.
So, Rabbi, what happened to the rov? We just talked about because the sister is
that
from
no,
the
rov makes that the shtuki is a kosher kid.
Okay.
But still, the chachamim come along and say you shouldn't marry a Jewish girl. Because this Jewish girl that he's marrying might be
fine. But
there's a famous story to
Menachem Begin. So many other women also.
Okay, but that's how far it goes.
Menachem Begin Prague.
There's a story to Menachem Begin Prague. It's a whole long story in the book of the Gehlem. Heard of the Gehlem book? The whole long story about a family was dumped into a pit, and then they saved the kid, and one kid was left behind, and the parents raised it. Anyway, the Menachem Begin Prague was officiating at a wedding. And he was about to make the brachas, and the cup fell out of his hand. So they re-poured the cup, and he was about to make the bracha again, and the cup fell out of his hand. So Menachem Begin Prague, he was a holy man, he said, the
something,
wedding's not happening now.
Wrong.
Anyway, he found out through the goylem, whatever, the whole story, he found that there was a brother marrying a sister. And Hashem stopped him by making the cup fall out of his hand. I mean, it could happen. It's a 1 in 6 billion chance, but it could happen.
But so rov doesn't apply to
in
all cases. I mean, not all situations.
No, so Gemara says elamiaka shtuki shtuki slayisa. The why does the Mishnah say shtuki kamara shtukis? Maybe they're also related. Shami yisa chaisim yoviv. Maybe he's going to marry his father. It's half sister from the father. So the Gemara says, "Kol kihanim is anava azler." The guy, the shtuki, right? Why should we assume every woman who bore a child of wedlock conceived from the same man? We think that one man lives with a lot of different women. It's not going to be that the problem. So then the Gemara says, "Bashtuki is lo yisa." Then he should marry the daughter of a shtuki. Then maybe he's going to marry again the sister of his father. So it's not common. So the Gemara says, is that the case? It's what's the reason? It's not common. So then this case should also be allowed. Why does the Mishnah say a shtuki can marry a Jewish girl? The Gemara asks, you're telling me because he might end up marrying his father's sister, then he can marry a sister too. I can marry a shtuki. The Gemara says you're right. It's so uncommon that we're not afraid of it. So why did the Mishnah say a shtuki can't marry a Bas Yisrael if Al Pidin is a kosher kid? The Gemara says Alamayla also be Yuchsin. They did a high standard in these types of inyan.
That's why you were saying these problems are prevalent in the countries where there's not much Torah, like in Ethiopia and all that.
Right. Right. So Gemara says you're right. The only reason why the Chacham want to keep the purity of the Jewish nation. It's a mile with Yuchsin. And again, the Gemara goes into the same thing now with an Asufi. Asufi, he said, you find a kid you don't know, not the father, not the mother. Which is even worse than the Shtuki. V'amir Rava, Dvar Teda, Asufi, kosher. Minat Teda, and Asufi is kosher. Why? My time, Eish is Ish, B'bailo Teda. He said, what's the problem? A married woman, okay, if a married woman has an affair with somebody, what are we afraid of? Again, the whole fear over here, is this kid a mamzer or not? Right, that's the whole chash. Is the kid a mamzer or not? So first by Shtuki we said, maybe the woman lived with her father. So therefore this kid that you find the Shtuki is a mamzer. So Gemara says, no, Rav, it's not, and this is Suffolk mamzer and everything. Okay? So Gemara says, what's the problem with our Sufi? You find a kid in the street. Yeah? The Gemara's going to call to all the angles again. You find a Sufi in the street. What are you afraid of? That there was a kid with a married woman with another man. She's going to say, legitimate child to her husband. And she doesn't abandon him. Meaning, this woman who conceives a woman abandons a child if it's not a kosher kid. What? A woman who doesn't have a kosher kid, okay, is going to abandon the kid. She doesn't want to go around having shame that she created a child. Okay. So he says, so a married woman basically attributes it that...
The husband.
Huh?
The husband did it.
Right. So therefore, then she wouldn't have dumped the kid.
She wouldn't have dumped it, yeah.
So why did she dump the kid? Because she wasn't married. In other words, Gemara says like this. If it was a married woman, she wouldn't have dumped the kid. She would have said it's her father's kid. I mean, the husband's kid. How's anybody else supposed to know? Right? She knows, but nobody else knows. If she's not married, right, that makes more sense why she dumped the kid, because she doesn't want to have a child that people, what happened? Okay? But then if she's not married, then the kid's not a mamzer. Right? Who is it? Maybe your father or brother? Again, the same, that's so far-fetched. My ikam, miyat arusis, the Gemara says like this. Again, what's the possibility? Miyat arusis, the minority of women who are, had kedushin, or miyat shahalach baila l'medina sayam, and there's a very small minority of wives who husbands go overseas. And again, another one's like this. An arusa cannot live, remember we learned, with kedushin you can't live with the guy yet. Right? If she didn't have a chasen yet, and she has the baby, so, again, the kid's not illegitimate. It's from, she wasn't, you know, it's from the husband. Or, or if the husband goes overseas, she's not going to attribute the offspring to her husband. Why? Because he wasn't home for a year, and all of a sudden she got a kid. Like, where did that come from? But since they're unmarried women who can have children, they're also mothers that give up the kids because of hunger. In the hunger years, like it says in the Chumash, people would just, they didn't have what to feed them. They would dump them and hope somebody else would feed them. Have a palgo, so it's 50-50. In other words, again, Rava says, every Asufi is 50-50 kosher or not. Maybe he's a mamzer, maybe he's not a mamzer. And again, the Torah says, Layover, mamzer b'kal Hashem. Mamzer vadehu de layover. Only a definite mamzer cannot become kal Hashem. Hosafik mamzer yovei, right? Bekal vadei hu do lo yovei. He cannot come in a certain mamzer, but habekal yosafik in a doubtful community he could. So if so, why isn't a Sufi not allowed to marry a Jewish girl? Technically, it's 50-50 that he's a mamzer, Right? And minatayr, if it's not a definite mamzer, he can come into Kol Hashem. So why did the Chachamim say a Sufi puzzle? Again, the Gemara is going through the same thing. Shamiyisa chaysimi aviv. Maybe he'll end up marrying his father's sister. So right away the Gemara asks, Asufi, Asufis, Layisa, then an Asufi can't marry an Asufis, because maybe he's going to marry his sister, whether from the father or from the mother. Kolhani Shadavaz. Okay? So you say, are we going to assume that all the women keep bearing children out of wedlock and abandon them? No. So the Gemara says, Basa Sufi, Layisa, if that's the case, then a Basa Sufi, same Gemara like before. Shamayisa Achaisa, maybe he'll marry a sister. What's the reason why in a Sufi couldn't marry a Sufis, a Basa Sufi? Because it's uncommon, right? That you can end up marrying your half-father's sister, is very far-fetched. So again, the Gemara says, Ela Milo Asa Biyuchsin. Why can a Sufi not marry a Jewish girl? Because the Chachamim made a Milo in Yuchsin. Okay? Now, we're almost done, but the Gemara is continuing over here a little bit. So the Gemara is saying, though, a Shtuki and a Sufi, Minatera would be allowed to marry Jewish girls, but they don't because the Torah wants to be strict with lineage. Now, Amar Rav Bar Ravuna, Nimtzemo. What happens if you find a kid that's circumcised? It says, Ein bei mishum asufi, he's not in a Sufi. Why? Because if the kid is a non-kosher kid, why do you think the mother is going to give him a bris? They'll just leave him as is. The fact that they bothered to give him a bris shows that he's a kosher kid. The same thing. Mishalte hadameh. This is some interesting thing. If they found his limb straightened, he's not in a Sufi. When kids were born in the olden days, because of the birth, their limbs came out crooked. Mm-hmm. So the mothers, usually the nurses, would straighten out, because they're very soft, they would straighten out the kids' limbs. So again, there's an assumption that if somebody bothered to straighten out the limbs of the baby, he must be a kosher baby. If not, they would just dump him and who knows, who cares?
They didn't care about the kids?
The Sufis dump the kids in the street.
Yeah, right now you find kids dumping.
The police department. No, ask, don't tell.
But this is only for baby boys. What about baby girls?
Same thing.
No bris.
No, and a Sufis wouldn't be a problem. Or Shayef Mishcha. If the child was found massaged with oil, or Malik Kucha powdered around the eyes to beautify him, or Rami Chumra knots of herbs tied around him, or Tali Piska written amulets around him, Vitali Kameya an amulet of spices hanging around his neck, in all these cases, Ein Bei Mishum Asufi. For a very simple reason, because if somebody took care of the kid, he must be kosher. Tali Bedikla, now. If they found a kid hanging from a tree in a basket, from a palm tree. So it says like this. If an animal can reach the kid and eat it, so then it's an asufi. Because obviously it's not kosher, so they don't care what's going to happen to it. Imlav, if the animal can't reach it, meaning it's high up in a way that an animal cannot eat the kid, then it's not an asufi. If they found him in a sorb tree, whatever that is, near the city, he's considered an asufi.
In a what tree?
Huh?
What was that again?
Tree.
Sorb tree?
It's, they used to get demons over there. One second.
Sorb tree. Hello? From the city. Seven.
Okay, one second. Oh, anyway, no, that will stop here. Yeah.
Have a good week, John.
What?